The coronavirus has already infected at least 850,000 people around the world. There are still lots of mysteries about this new disease, including how to treat it. In this segment, we'll answer some of your questions about what to do if you think you have COVID-19, whether any particular drugs seem to work, and what can happen if you go to the hospital with symptoms. We have two experts with us to answer your questions. First, Dr. Megan Ranney is an emergency physician at Brown University and Lifespan Health Systems in Rhode Island. Welcome.
Thank you, Ari. It's a joy to be here.
And epidemiology professor Anne Remoyne is an infectious disease expert at UCLA. She studies diseases that humans get from animals, like COVID-19. Welcome to you, Professor Remoyne.
Thanks. It's a pleasure.
Dr. Ranney, will you begin by just describing how your hospital is dealing with the arrival of COVID-19 patients in your emergency department in Rhode Island?
So in Rhode Island, we've been preparing for the COVID-19 pandemic, honestly, for months, since those first reports came out of Wuhan about the new virus. We've been doing our best to get adequate stockpiles of personal protective equipment and to create procedures to help us manage the surge of patients, which has already started. The trouble is, of course, that there's inadequate production and access to many of the life-saving supplies that we need, things like masks and gowns, but also things like drugs that we need to treat everyday emergencies. So we're constantly pivoting day by day to try to fill gaps and plan ahead so that we can take the best possible care of our patients going forwards.
That sounds so challenging. Mm-hmm. We've heard about the use of ventilators for very severe cases. What other kinds of treatments are you using for people with COVID-19?
Most people who develop COVID-19, thank goodness, have mild symptoms that can be managed at home. So we take care of them the same way we would take care of most patients with influenza. We tell them to rest, drink plenty of fluids, take medications like acetaminophen or Tylenol. But some patients are sicker. They need inhalers, things like albuterol, the stuff that folks with asthma use. They need IV fluids. They need oxygen. And sometimes they do need those more intensive care measures like blood pressure support, ventilators, and similar interventions.
Have you seen those treatments working? Are you having good outcomes?
So it's early to say whether or not we are having good outcomes. In Rhode Island, like across the country, COVID-19 is a brand new disease. And in New York City, my colleagues there are just having the very first wave of patients make it through the ICU. Based on data from Washington State and from China, we're seeing that somewhere between 25 and 50% of patients who get admitted to intensive care actually survive. It may be as low as 10 or 20%. We're still waiting to see which interventions are most successful and what the true survival rate is.
Those are really sobering numbers. Professor Remoyne, I'd love to bring you in here because what Dr. Ranney is seeing at the grassroots level, you study from the 10,000-foot view. So is what she's describing consistent with what the models that you study had been projecting?
Absolutely. I think, you know, the problem has been that we don't have the equipment. We don't have the ventilators. We don't have the testing. And we don't have national strategy, which has made this all very, very difficult. I think that the key is the first issue is we don't even know where we are in this epidemic. And the lack of testing has taken us completely, has made it very, very difficult for all of us to understand where we are. Testing,
yeah, you mean beginning, way, middle, or, I mean, we're not at the end, but how close to the middle maybe?
Exactly. We have no idea where we stand. Countries that have known where they are at a peak have had widespread testing. We have no idea where we are. And so how can we be prepared? How can hospitals, like the ones we're just talking about now, be ready for anything? This has taken us unfortunately, by a complete surprise, and not because we didn't know something like this could happen, but because we didn't have national strategy on it, and that pandemic preparedness had been underfunded for decades.
Yeah.
But I do think that what the doctor is saying is very important. You know, we just do not have these tools in place, and it is devastating.
Well, we have a lot of listener questions coming in, and this first one is one that I know many people have been wondering about. It comes from Judy Duenas in Melrose Park, Illinois.
My question is, I'm hearing rumors online that acetaminophen increases your chance of getting COVID-19, no matter what your age is. So I needed to know if there's any truth in that whatsoever.
I've seen these rumors for a while now. Dr. Ranney, what are you advising your patients about taking acetaminophen or ibuprofen if they have COVID-19?
So acetaminophen and ibuprofen are two very different drug classes. They both treat fevers and muscle aches and the things that many of us feel if we get COVID-19 or other similar illnesses. There's some preliminary data out of the World Health Organization suggesting that taking ibuprofen, also known as Motrin or Advil, might maybe increase the chance of bad outcomes if you're infected with COVID-19. But that data has not been replicated adequately outside of that initial WHO report. So I and other physicians across the country are telling patients, you know, first off, if you're feeling sick, if you have muscle aches or fevers, take acetaminophen or Tylenol first. And then if you're still not feeling good, if your fever still isn't under control, there's a risk-benefit discussion, but ibuprofen is probably safe to take as well.
Let's take another question here from Katie in Brooklyn.
If you have symptoms but don't require emergency assistance, what do doctors think we should be doing? Should we take cold medicine, flu medicine? I know they say get lots of rests and fluids, but what else can we do?
I think so many people are concerned about overtaxing the healthcare system. What advice do you have?
I love that question, and I thank her for asking it. So if you're feeling sick, the first thing to do is to try to get in touch with a healthcare provider. If you have a primary care doc, try calling, or if you don't, try using telehealth. Go to an emergency department only in the worst possible scenarios, because we don't want you to get sick by showing up or to make other people sick. If you're well enough to stay home, drinking lots of fluids, taking ibuprofen or acetaminophen, and yes, cold medicine, just kind of, and then the most important thing is making sure you don't infect other people. So making sure you quarantine, don't go out to the grocery store. You may even want to sleep in a different bedroom from other family members and be very, very careful about washing your hands.
Well, and apart from COVID-19, I for days had been saying, don't do something stupid like break a toe. And yesterday, scrubbing a bathroom tile, I cut my finger deeply and thought, I'm not going to urgent care. Fortunately, it was okay. But I heard from all of these people who said, oh yeah, I broke a toe and splinted it at home because I didn't want to go into urgent care.
So it's so interesting. We're actually seeing across the country decreased number of patients in the emergency department for the normal things that people come in for. So we're seeing decreased number of people who cut their finger or have belly pain or chest pain. So I totally sympathize, and I thank you for thinking about keeping away.
Dr. Megan Ranney and Professor Anne Ramoyne, thank you both for being with us.